I have a message that's been burdening me to preach here tonight. Been doing a lot of studying, and it's about truth. In society today, it seems like we don't have any absolute truths. Everything's just relevant. No absolute wrong, no absolute right. If you look in the dictionary under truth, it says fact, something that's correct, something that's absolute, something that is true, no doubt about it, something you can rely on. Absolute truth. How can we be sure if something's true? Just because we hear something doesn't mean it's absolute truth. I'm going to tell you a few things that people thought were true but found out they really aren't. One's falsehood. It says, bulls hate the color red. You ever see a matador? He's carrying that red cape and he's always zipping around teasing the bull with it. And they use red to get the bull mad. Well, found out that bulls are colorblind. So it doesn't have anything to do with that. Number two, you lose 98% of your body heat through your head. And in my case, it looks like you could, right? There isn't much insulation there. But it says that in cold weather, on a cold day, you lose more heat from exposed arms or legs than you would through your head. Number three, we only use 10% of our brain. Says we use all of it instead of 10%. But I've seen a few people, you wonder. Okay? In the 1970s, scientists believe there was a second ice age coming. Now, scientists are saying, oh, today all we hear about is global warming. That's the new thing. Years ago, people thought the world was flat. Well, they were wrong. One thing they always say now, take an aspirin a day. That's really going to help you from having a heart attack, stroke, and all this. I heard on the news just the other night that it isn't true for everybody. So you shouldn't really be taking aspirins unless you check with your doctor first. Here's another one. At least I heard it in grade school, maybe you didn't. George Washington had wooden teeth, false teeth. They're made out of wood. How many ever heard that? Okay, a few of you. Well, that was false. His teeth were made out of gold, ivory, lead. Can you see putting lead in your mouth? Lead and human and animal teeth. Could you see putting in a cow's tooth in your mouth? Or, you know, what can I say? So there's some of the things that people thought were true, but they really aren't. What I want to talk about as far as truth is spiritual truth, godly truth. And the only place you can find true truth is in the Holy Bible, God's Word. There's a saying I heard once says, find buried treasure, read your Bible. Now, if you buy a new car, it comes with an owner's manual, doesn't it? And they tell you how to change oil. They tell you when to change oil, what kind of oil to use. They tell you what kind of antifreeze to put in. They tell you to watch the warning lights and gauges, make sure everything's running right. They want to help you avoid problems down the road. Keep your engine from burning up or your transmission giving out. And get the best and longest life out of your car. That's what the owner's manual's for. Well, you know, the Bible is our owner's manual. God made it, made us. He wrote the book. He wrote the Bible. And it's there to give us the best quality life that we can have, to avoid a lot of problems and dangers and snares and traps that the devil has out for us. That's what the Bible's for. And you can live a long life, the best life, when you're standing for Jesus. You know, I had a grandma. She was the most godly person I have ever met. She always followed the Word of God. She lived to 108. At 107, she was dusting a house at her daughter's house, helping her with just cleaning up, and she fell and broke her hip. And within a year, she passed away from her hip being broke. But until then, she never used a cane, a walker, or anything. She'd go up and downstairs like anybody. It was a miracle. And she loved the Lord. If you have problems in life, where do you go to? You go to the Word of God. And the Word of God can help us. It gives us hope when we have no hope. It gives us purpose for life when we wonder why we're even here. It encourages us. It can help us in our marriages. It's the glue that holds a marriage together when you're both believers in Christ. It gives us guidance. It can give you peace and rest and joy, security, comfort, happiness. Don't we all strive for that? And the true meaning of life is in the Word of God. I want to read some stuff I got off the internet from a guy named Matt Slick. He says, society today wants to avoid the idea that there are absolute truths, absolute right, absolute wrong. Avoid the Bible is what they're saying, more or less. Even in courts, they have trouble deciding what is right and wrong these days. Entertainment continues to push the envelope of immoral and indecent shows and movies. Schools are teaching the theory of evolution as fact and truth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator. Isn't that the way it is today? We don't worship God, we worship things. One of the things I see everybody, I'd say, worshiping is their iPhone. It seems like it's always with them. They're always looking at it. And a lot of people are getting in trouble just driving down the road, texting and driving. There's a lady up at St. Joe, Michigan, walking out on the pier. She was texting. She fell right off the pier into the water because she was so obsessed with texting. So we got people worshiping the creation rather than the Creator that made it. And he goes on, the plagues of no morals, no absolutes, no right, no wrong, is encouraging everyone to accept things like homosexuality, pornography, fornication, drug use, and a host of other sins that once were considered wrong, but now being accepted and even promoted in society today. It's being promoted. Sin's being promoted. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, it says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Who believeth not the truth will be damned, it says, but had pleasures in their own sin. They had pleasures in sin. And John 17:17 says, Jesus says this, the Word is truth. That's the only truth. That's what Jesus says. The Word of God is truth. And it goes on, Matt Slick says this, it's becoming so pervasive that if you speak out against moral relativism, against no right, no wrong, or anything goes philosophy, if you speak against that, you're labeled as an intolerant, a hater, you're a bigot. But of course, this is incredibly hypocritical, because those who profess that all points of view are true and equal, yet they reject those who profess the views of moral absolutes. As Christians do. Christians don't have a say anymore. They don't want to listen to that. They say everything's equal and everybody can do what they want, but when it comes to Christianity and the Word of God, you don't have a say-so anymore. It's getting that way. So accept any view except for a Christian view. People that deny the Bible separate themselves from the truth and God. I'm going to read this that I got also from the internet from the same fella. And it's a story. So just sit back and listen to this. It tells you kind of what happens when we don't have absolute truth. A thief is casing a jewelry store so he can rob it. He has entered it to check out any visible alarm settings, locks, layouts, and etc. In the process, he unexpectedly got involved in a discussion with the owner of the jewelry store, whose hobby is the study of philosophy and his beliefs that truth and morals are relative, that there's no absolute truth. So, says the owner, everything is relative. That is why I believe that all morals are not absolute, and that right and wrong is up to that individual to determine within the confines of society. But there is no absolute right or wrong. That's very interesting perspective, says the thief. I was brought up to believe that there was a God and that there was a right and a wrong. But I abandon all of that and I agree with you that there is no absolute right and wrong and we are free to do whatever we want. The thief leaves the store. He returns that evening to break in. He has disabled all the alarms and locks and is in the process of robbing the store. That is when the owner of the store enters through a side door. The thief pulls out a gun, and the owner cannot see the man's face because he is wearing a ski mask. "Don't shoot me," says the owner. "Please take whatever you want, but leave me alone." "That's exactly what I plan to do," said the thief. "Wait a minute. I know you. You're the man that was in my store earlier today. I recognize your voice." "That is very unfortunate for you," says the thief, "because now you also know what I look like. And since I don't want to go to jail, you're forcing me to kill you." "You can't do that," says the owner. "Why not?" "Because it's not right," pleads the desperate man. "But didn't you tell me today that there is no right or wrong?" "Yes, but I have a family, I have children that need me, and I have a wife." "So? I'm sure that you are insured and they'll get plenty of money. But since there is no right or wrong, it makes no difference whether or not I kill you. And if I let you live, you will turn me in and I'll go to prison. Sorry, but I'm not going to let you go." "But that's a crime against society to kill me. It's wrong because society says so. As you can see, I don't recognize society's claim to impose morals on me. It's all relative, remember?" And he says, "Please don't shoot me. I beg you. I promise not to tell anyone what you look like. I swear it." "I don't believe you. I cannot take that chance. But it's true. I swear. I'll tell no one." "Sorry. But it cannot be true because there is no absolute truth. No right or wrong. Remember? If I let you live and then I leave, you will break your so-called promise because of your morals and your promises are relative. There is no way I can trust you. Our conversation this morning convinced me of that. But it's wrong to kill me, isn't it? It's not right. It's neither right nor wrong for me to kill you. Since truth is relative and to the individual, if I kill you, that's my truth. And it is obviously true that if I let you live, I'm going to prison. So sorry. Please, don't shoot me. I beg you. This makes no difference. Bang! He shoots him. That's why God wrote the Bible for us. How to conduct our lives. What's right, what's wrong. You know, in the Bible, the Lord gave us 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. There are absolutes. That's what the Word of God says. If we didn't have absolutes, it would be chaos in society today. No value for human life. And you know, that's why we rip innocent little babies out of their mother's womb and call it choice today. Life doesn't mean anything. We want our own free will, free choices. Another thing I want to talk about, degrading the Word of God, taking and making it like it doesn't mean nothing. It's the theory of evolution, which denies the truth of the Bible, that God made us and that God gave us a purpose and God gave us value and God gave us a soul. It denies all that. Evolution tells us there is no God. We're just biological chemicals, cells, and tissues. Just by chance, we were created. Over billions and millions of years, made from a rock with no purpose. We just live, we just die, and we don't have a soul. And the man that made that popular in society today, the evolution theory, was a guy named Charles Darwin. I don't know if you ever heard of Charles Darwin. He wrote a book, The Origin of Species, and that's all they'll tell you about the title of the book. But I'm going to give you the whole title of the book. It's called The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Talking about bigoted. There it is right there. Favored races. The danger of evolution philosophy. Here's some of the things about it. It's based on a lie. It says we just evolved over billions of years. What if I told you, how many of you have ever seen the picture or been to Mount Rushmore where there's the four heads of the presidents carved right into the rock? Okay, man made that, right? What if I told you, no, man didn't make that up there with the four heads. Over millions and billions of years, the rains descended and the winds blew, and that's what came out of that rock face like that to look just identical to the four presidents we had. Would you believe that? But with evolution, they're teaching everybody that the men that are represented on that mount were made by chance. They'll believe that the men with all the chemicals and all the complicated biological cells and tissue were made by chance through evolution, but they won't believe that Mount Rushmore was made by chance. If I told you I found this rock on the beach, and it must have just evolved over millions of years, and it ended up being a watch, you wouldn't believe me, would you? Because you know there was a designer for this watch. You know there was a man that made this watch. Why don't we believe there is a God that made us? Because we're a lot more complicated than that watch. Just a human eyeball. They can't make a human eyeball. They can't. You can have all the parts for a body, but we can't make it live. Somebody dies in the hospital, they're dead. We have all the cells, we have all the chemicals to make a human body right there in that dead person. But we can't bring them back to life. And they're telling us we came from a rock? That's what evolution teaches. And it removes morality through evolution. And evolution is the foundation philosophy for humanism, racism, Nazism, communism, and a new world order. If evolution is true, who makes all the rules in evolution? What's right? What's wrong? We don't have a God. You know, who makes the rules if we don't have God? It's whoever's in power at the time. Do we want a man like Saddam bin Laden to make all the rules, decide what's right and wrong? Do we want a man like Hitler to decide the rules, what's right and wrong and what's moral? Do we want the Muslim Brotherhood to decide what's right, what's wrong, what rules that should be made and what shouldn't be, what's moral and what's immoral? You know, Hitler and Mussolini were both believed in evolution. Hitler thought the Germans were the superior race. Mussolini thought the Italians were the super race. Hitler wrote a book in 1923, and it was full of evolution philosophies. And he made a list. Hitler made a list on what races were the top of the line on down to the worst race. And right at the top, he put the pure Aryan race, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people. And then he put down the Germans as number two, brown-haired, blue-eyed. They were predominantly Aryan race. And he had a whole list. And at the bottom of the list was the Jews. He thought they were close to pure ape. That's what Hitler thought. And you know what he did to the Jews? He wanted to annihilate the Jews because they were at the bottom of the scale. 6 million Jews died and were treated like animals, worse than animals, to Hitler because he didn't care. They didn't evolve as much as other races. Hitler hated black people. At the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, Jesse Owens won the most gold medals. And Hitler was so mad he walked out. Here's something you really want to listen to. This is what a Jewish Holocaust survivor said. He's seen all the hate going on. And here's what he said, what he observed. There is a difference between those who look upon their fellow human beings as created by God and those who look upon them as just a mass of biological, chemical tissue, as an animal. There's a big difference. Hitler treated people like animals, as just a piece of meat. You know, he shaved their heads and they made blankets out of human hair. They made soap out of human body. Whatever they could make out of them, they did. How low can you go? Yes, Hitler was in power. He made his own rules. Hitler got started. His power started by indoctrinating the youth into Nazism. Hitler said that Christianity was the most fatal and seductive lie that ever existed. He hated Christians. Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough, loud enough, often enough, people will believe it. Hitler also said, let me control the textbooks in the school, and I will control the state. And then Charles Darwin's book on evolution was translated in other languages. And before World War II, it was translated into Japanese. And the Japanese really got into Charles Darwin's book on evolution. And they tried to study it and see who the superior race was. And you know who they thought the superior race was? The Japanese thought the Japanese were the superior race. And they did studies. They said that the Japanese bodies had less body hair. And they had less body odor. So they're the furthest from being an ape. And that's why in World War II, the Japanese treated the American and British prisoners horribly. They were an inferior species. They wanted to annihilate them. You look up the Bataan Death March in World War II, how the Japanese treated the American people. Evolution. Ever hear of Karl Marx? He's the man, the founder of communism. Basis philosophy of communism on evolution. He said, Charles Darwin was a very important man to me. Karl Marx says, my objective in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. Karl Marx wrote a book and dedicated his book to Charles Darwin in 1873. Karl Marx got married. He had 6 children. 3 died of starvation in infancy. 2 of his children committed suicide. Nice father, huh? When Karl Marx died in 1883, only 6 people attended his funeral. Wow. And here's something. Communist rules for revolution. How to take over a country. This is written. This is how you take over a country and make it communist. Listen to what they do. And listen, I'm going to ask you, do we see this today in the United States? Just listen. Here's some of the rules of taking over. Corrupt the young. Get them away from religion and the Bible. 2, break down the old moral virtues. 3, encourage civil disorder. 4, divide the people into hostile groups, races, religion, and rich against the poor. Get people's minds off government. Let them focus on sports and sex. Get control of all the news medias, the televisions. Destroy people's faith in their leaders, in their governments. Cause the registration for all firearms to eventually confiscate all firearms. Every dictator tries to enforce gun control. Joseph Stalin, ever hear him? Soviet dictator. At a young age, Joseph Stalin read Darwin's book and became an atheist. Changed his whole life forever. Stalin is reported to have killed 60 to 100 million of his own people. What you believe determines how you behave and how you treat other people, what you believe. If you believe there is no God, no rules, no right, no wrong, no absolutes, you will live differently than if you know there is a God and you will have to be accountable to Him someday. You're going to live a little different when you know that someday you're accountable for the Lord. I'm going to close with some Bible truths. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God. And here's what happens when there is no absolutes. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about the last days, which I believe we're in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does that sound like today? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Everybody's into sports and pleasures. How many know a lot of Bible verses compared to know how many yards a guy ran down a football field? You know what I'm saying? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why we keep making bigger and bigger football stadiums and less churches. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, and they turn away. I see a great turning away from the Word of God, the true Word of God today. That's why churches that preach the truth are getting smaller. And the churches that don't preach the true Word of God and try to candy coat it are getting bigger and bigger. And it says, people are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. They're ever learning. How many people get on the computers, ever learning, all the internet things and the iPhone thing, ever learning. They're going to college forever, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, the Word of God. And here's what happens when all these other things happen. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then down in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it talks about this also. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itchy ears. It means they're going to go listen to what they want to hear. They'll go to a church. It's okay to do this. No absolutes. That's the church you're going to go to. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn into fables. That's what's happening today in society. 2 Peter says this, and many shall follow evil ways. They'll follow sin. And by that reason, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's what's happening, huh? The truth shall be even spoken of. Evil spoken of. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. It says, woe unto them. You're accountable before the Lord someday when you're twisting the Word of God. John chapter 15, verse 18. Here's what Jesus says. And if you're a Christian here tonight, listen to this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but you have chosen out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. That's what Jesus says. Be strong. We're on the winning side. I read the end of the book. And God wins. Christians win. So don't get discouraged. Get in the Word of God and grow. Stand fast. Time is getting short. If you're a Christian here today, you need to share it. Because you know, if a person had cancer and they go to the doctor, they don't know they have cancer, and the doctor finds out they have cancer, is it a good doctor to say, he's afraid to hurt their feelings and say, well, You're doing all right. You're doing all right. Just go out. No, a doctor needs to say, you do have cancer, and I'm going to help you. Jesus says we all have a cancer. That's sin. It's eternal life in hell. So what result of that cancer is. But Jesus has the answer for that cancer. Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He loved us so much, he died on that cross for us. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. Hang in there. Hang in there. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 3:16, most of you know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world may be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, is condemned already." Amen. Condemned already. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." How much? All unrighteousness. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Is He knocking on the door of your heart tonight? If you would die today, do you know for sure you'd be in heaven or not? If you don't know for sure, chances are you're on your way to hell. Because the Bible says you can know. 1 John 5:13 says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Jesus fills that void we try to fill with earthly things. There's a spot that only Jesus can fit. And we try to fill it with all the worldly things. I want to close. I close with this story every time I come. If you heard me preach, you heard about the two cats. And the reason I close with this story is because there's a lot of wisdom in it. I've been coming here almost 24 years, and I've talked to a lot of men going in and out. And the thing I hear the most, "Gary, when I come into the jail, I say I'm never going back here into the jail. I'm never coming back. But I keep coming. I get in and out, in and out. What can I do that I'll never come back to the jail?" And this story has the answer for that. It's a story about an old missionary. Back in the old cowboy Indian days, when people, all they had was horses. And he took his big old Bible on his horse. And he'd go from Indian village to Indian village, telling the Indian people about Jesus Christ. And one day, an Indian chief came to Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Awesome. Well, the missionary, after spending a few more days there, he goes on, hits other villages. 3 months later, he comes back. And he's sitting by the campfire next to the Indian chief. And he asks the Indian chief, "How is it being a Christian?" The Indian chief says, "It's great." He says, "My sins that I always carried around, they're gone. The load of sin is gone." And he says, "I have peace that I never had before. Peace in life. And I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm forgiven." But he says, "There's two cats inside of me. And they fight from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. They're fighting." And the missionary says, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about, two cats inside of me?" He says, "Well, one cat represents the old me, the old flesh. The thing that's always got me in trouble, the flesh. And the other cat represents the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ living within me." And he said, "They're always fighting from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed." And the missionary says, "Well, which cat usually wins?" And here's what the wisdom is. The Indian chief says, "The one I feed the most wins." There's the truth. If you're a Christian here tonight, you need to feed the right cat. That's getting into the Word of God. That's memorizing the Word of God. That's praying to the Lord. And what it does, you grow stronger and stronger in faith in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit becomes more dominant in your life. And the flesh, every time it comes up with its ugly head wanting to do its trashy stuff, it beats it back down. But if you're living for the flesh, that's what's going to control your life, and you'll be right back in here. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you know how many cats you have? You got one cat, the flesh. And there's no way. The Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. And you may think you're smart, but he knows every weak spot you have. And he'll dangle that desire in front of you. I don't know what it is. You know where your weak spots is. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's sex, pornography, alcohol, whatever. There's a zillion things. Greed. But you know your weak spot, and Satan knows them too. And you have not a chance. The Bible says when you're Christian, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We're going to give an altar call here tonight, now. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, this is a time to do business with God. This is a time to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. You'll never regret it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Satan's going to have this one little tug on you tonight to keep you from coming up forward. He's going to say, what will people think if you come up forward? You know, who cares? Someday, the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's what Jesus also said in Matthew 10:32, 10:33. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Where do you stand? Is the Lord tugging? Is he knocking? If he is, come forward. We're going to play a song in closing. And if he's tugging, come forward. I have these booklets called Knowing God Personally. And I could show you up here 5 minutes. You can come to Christ, and you're on your way to heaven. As the song plays, come on up.